She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 168, How to Gain Clarity and Take Action with Carrie Petzinger.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hello, hello, fabulous listeners. Thanks so much again for tuning in to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. I'm so excited you guys are tuning in. So whether you are listening to this on your commute, whether you're on a train or you're in a car, maybe you're at home cleaning and listening to the podcast, wherever you are, I'm so excited that we found you and are able to join you in whatever it is that you are doing right now in your life. Today's guest is Carrie Petzinger, and she is a mindset and performance coach. She actually, just like most of us, started off in a corporate career. She was a physical therapist before becoming a mindset and performance coach. And she started out by sending weekly newsletters called Your Streamline Life that reached over 167 countries, which is pretty crazy and pretty awesome and incredible. And in this interview, we talk about how she wasn't fulfilled with her job and how she was able to not only transform her life, but then transform others' lives because of the journey that she had found herself on. And one of the quotes in this podcast interview that I love is that no matter where a person is at in their life, with whatever their priorities, goals, and big dreams are, it's all about being intentional. So where do you want to spend your time? Where do you want to put your effort? Where do you want to spend your money so you can truly make the difference that you want to make and be a high performer in what matters most to you? So in this episode, you will know how to start to align your life with passion and values that serve you, learn what characteristics you have that fascinate others, be able to find people who are pioneers in your field and know what to take away from their journey and apply it to yours. Again, so many other things that I could list out and go on and on, but coming up next is Know How to Gain Clarity and Take Action with Carrie Petzinger.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we've got Carrie Petzinger, who is a mindset and performance coach, coming to us all the way from really north Minnesota, which I am a fan of the Midwest, obviously, as an Iowa girl. So welcome to the show, Miss Carrie.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, we're pumped to have you, and I'm looking forward to learning more about what you do as a mindset and performance coach. But why don't you tell us what it is that you do and then walk us through your journey of what led you there?
That sounds great. So what I do is I help people learn to think big and learn to really find what their strengths are, what their passions are, and build a life around that so that they can be high performers in what matters most. I call it achieving success that matters. So success that aligns with your purpose, your priorities, your passions, and really focusing your life on being a high achiever in those things that matter the most to you. So as far as how this all started, it actually started a few years ago after years of not being able to have kids and trying and going through a whole bunch of different things to try to have kids. My husband and I ended up having 3 kids within 19 months.
I know. I read that and I was like, whoa, did you have twins?
Yeah, we had twins and then another baby. So it was at that time that I sat down and I was feeling stir crazy. I have a career as a physical therapist. And I was feeling stir crazy, like there's something else I'm supposed to be doing outside of these clinic walls. I don't know what it is. Then had these 3 little kids and I sat down and was thinking about, what do I really want to do? How can I really reach big goals in my career and still be as present of a mom as I want to be? And I knew that in order to achieve the things I really wanted in my personal life and in my career, that I was going to have to do things differently and that I was going to have to streamline my life is what I called it. So what I started doing was started writing about doing what matters, writing about making the things you have to do in your life super efficient and streamlining those things so that you have more time for your priorities and your passions and the things that actually really matter in life. So I started writing mostly for myself, mostly as a project for myself to work on my own life. And people started paying attention and people started opting in to read along with these weekly newsletters I was writing. And pretty soon I had an audience of people from 167 countries who were reading this stuff. So it actually, my business, it wasn't like I woke up one day and said, I'm going to be a mindset and performance coach. It was more like I started working on my own life. People started paying attention. Then I started hopping on the phone with them and saying, what are you struggling with? Who are you? Like, why are you following me? What are you looking for here? And gradually, I started building online courses and programs to solve their problems. So it evolved from me writing mostly about what I was going to do in my own life. So it was really cool how it kind of gradually grew like that.
Mm-hmm. And I love how you say that it's not as if you woke up one day and you're like, ta-da, I'm a performance mindset coach. Like, I know what I want to do, but it takes that, there's that journey of time and like the transition period from when we realize something's off and it's not, we're not being fulfilled to when we take the first big jump and start moving towards that.
Absolutely. There's totally a transition period. And one of the things that I always say is clarity comes from taking action. So if you're at a point in your life or your business or whatever it may be, where you're not quite sure where to go or where that next big leap is going to be or where to focus all your efforts, clarity comes from taking action. So the more that you get out there and get those ideas out of your head and into the world, and the more you learn about yourself, the more you learn about who you can help, the more you learn about what your strengths are and what you're really passionate about. So the more action you take, the more clarity you gain, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a simple phrase and it totally sums up everything. And even thinking like, you know, like marketing, you got to, mm-hmm. marketing's all about testing and you don't have clarity until you take action to test it. And it's something that, yeah, clarity definitely comes from taking action because you learn what you like, what you don't like, what works, what doesn't. And you're like, ooh, okay, I'll do more of this and less of that.
Yes, exactly.
So I talked to us about like what are some of the problems that when you started writing your content and then people started reaching out, what would be some of the problems that they would have?
Well, there's a lot of people that I noticed that were feeling not quite fulfilled in their jobs. And so I started looking at the research, and there's a recent Gallup survey that found that 87% of people are not engaged at their jobs. So that's one of the things that they were talking to me about, is that they've maybe spent their life climbing a certain corporate ladder or whatever it may be. They've gone to school for a long time. They're working in a certain career field, and they're successful according to society, but they're not fulfilled. They feel stuck. They feel stuck in almost a treadmill existence, and they want to focus more on what truly matters to them. So one of the things people talk to me about is feeling stuck, like feeling like their job doesn't align with what they really want or who they really are. Another thing is not having enough time to feel a sense of being able to spend as much time with their friends and family as they want, or their personal life goals, maybe health and wellness goals, those kind of things, along with their career goals. So finding a difficulty feeling any sense of balance or well-roundedness in their life, they might be doing, you know, totally knocking it out of the park in one area of their life, but then the other areas are really falling apart. So those are a couple of the things that I really notice that people have is the lack of time and feeling not completely engaged in their career, or they're either building a business that or a career in general that it doesn't allow them to really use their strengths because they're so busy doing all kinds of little tasks that don't light them up, the things behind the scenes, the little things that they could hand off to someone else, but they haven't done that yet. So they're feeling bogged down by all of the things that they're doing.
Yeah. Let's, I want to circle back to the ones that come to you and they're in a job and it doesn't feel aligned. What are some like key things that you recommend or exercises you provide to those people to really help them bring clarity and say like, okay, what's the first step to make that transition or to really figure out what it is that you want to do and how do we get you from point A to point B?
Yeah, great question. So there's a couple things that I really, really love, and that is the book StrengthsFinder 2.0 is an awesome, awesome book to help people discover what their top five strengths are. And that's a book that I often refer people to. I send it to a ton of my private coaching clients, and I also have them go through a test by Sally Hogseed on the howtofascinate.com.
Yes.
Have you heard? Yeah, yeah.
It's so good. And oh my, yes, we'll put a link in that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that one, the how to fascinate or the fascinate is like, okay, I'm really excited about it, but this is your interview. So you tell what it is.
No, yeah. So it's this fascination advantage test, like you were saying. And it's awesome because all these tests out there show how you see the world. Like, what is your inner psychology? How do you think about things? Those kind of things. And those are helpful for us to figure out who we are. But this howtofascinate.com, she has this way of helping you see what the world is drawn to in you. Like, how do you actually fascinate the world? What are people magnetized by in you? And when you know those things, you can draw them out in the way that you communicate. You can draw them out in your branding of your business, in the way that you show up, in the actual services that you offer. It's amazing what happens when you really look at how you fascinate and bring that to light. So that's one thing that I have people do, and people just love it.
Yeah. Carrie, what was yours?
Mine's passion and innovation.
Okay. So what how does that – mine was maestro.
Oh, okay.
So – which is very fitting at the fact that, like, I love – as much as I'm an extrovert, I don't necessarily always require – I don't need to be the, like, I think there was another one on there that was the center stage one, but I like to pull the pieces together and be the one orchestrating behind the scenes and like introducing people and bringing people together and being the connector.
Cool.
But yeah, so how, I mean, obviously yours is showing up right now because of what you do and how you are aligned with the things that you do.
Yeah, it is. So mine is, so the passion and innovation, those, that combination is called the catalyst. So yeah, I'm the one who has these, you know, big ideas and can help with this excited, like bubbliness, and pull these out of people. So yeah, it really does tie well into the coaching and into this. And I think it's just awesome when you know those things about you and you're like, oh, that totally makes sense. And then when you can do the things like you're doing in your business, when you're pulling people together, you're organizing these things. I mean, you're running this amazing podcast. You have all these like other things, great things going on with your business. And when you can do those things where you bring out the way that you fascinate, I feel like you can make a bigger impact and, just shine brighter, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. because you're doing those things that really resonate with people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I have them start. I have them start usually with that StrengthsFinder book and then the How to Fascinate, along with looking at getting rid of the things in life that are unimportant. Because a lot of times if we're sitting there and we're trying to figure out, well, what are my strengths? What are my gifts? What are my talents? Where exactly should I focus my efforts here? So whether you're growing a business or whatever you're doing, when you're trying to figure out, well, what exactly do I want to do? How do I, what do I want to spend my time focused on? What are the things that are actually going to move the lever for me in my business? When you look at trying to figure those things out, it helps to get rid of the things that are not important. So I tell people if they're searching for their passion, start by getting rid of the things that you know you're not passionate about so that you don't get completely overwhelmed with just adding more and more searching and doing into your life. So look back, look first at peeling away the things that are unimportant. So that goes back to the concept of really streamlining your life, getting rid of the unimportant junk. And when you look at the way we...
What's some of the unimportant junk that your clients have gotten rid of?
I would say the number one thing is distractions. So if you look at, I think it was Ben Hardy who had done a study on, he does a lot of studies on productivity, but I think it was him that had said the average person in America at least checks their cell phone 150 times a day.
Whoa.
Yeah. And spends 9 years of their lives checking Facebook and on social or and watching TV. So checking social media and watching TV. So a lot of it is looking at the things that I call empty activities. Like, what are those little things? You don't have to be sitting there for 5 hours a day doing something totally unproductive, but maybe it's the little things that are like, okay, 2 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here. All these little tiny things that we're doing that add up. They add up to being distracted, to not being focused and productive. So it's looking at those empty time sucking activities, saying,
and
okay,
energy suck. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So that's one of the first things, is looking at the little things that are stealing your attention away. It's very, very hard to be highly productive and feel focused and passionate and excited and make your best impact if you're constantly being tugged between a million things all day long, because it sucks your energy, it sucks your focus. So looking at saying, okay, I'm going to designate these times to check my email or these times to check my phone, and I'm going to have this system and process to be able to automatically respond to these different things. So it's looking up at setting up efficiencies and system, little systems into your day, and starting first by, you know, those things that really distract us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That I know. I love when you like say streamline, because I'm like, ooh, how do we clear out the clutter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot of clutter.
Yeah. What are some other things that when you work with your clients that you find that they have, whether it's, again, like the alignment or other things that you help them with, that like maybe the listeners listening can, you know, take more inventory on the time and schedule blocking and getting rid of the empty energy sucks and things like that. But share with us, like, you know, if there's anything else too that we can take away.
Oh, there's so much. Okay. So one of the things is to just wake up every day and be intentional about your time. So like you were talking about time blocking is great, and day blocking for whole days at a time can be great too, so that you're either fully on and you're working, or you're fully off and you're completely unplugged for that day, so that you're not going back and forth between all of these things at once. So time blocking or day blocking, where you have certain tasks for different days. Also, you know, looking at waking up every day and being intentional, and that starts with having a tentative schedule for the day. So the last thing I do every night before I go to bed is write out a tentative schedule for the next day, so that I know when I wake up where my time is going to go. Because when you look at the way we spend our time, if you're going to say you're going to work on your money in your life, and the first thing you're going to do if you want to figure out what to do with your money is you're going to sit down and you're going to analyze where it's currently going, so that you know when more money comes in where you want it to go, you can tell it where to go. Well, we have to do the same thing with our time. So we know we have 24 hours in each day. And if we truly want to be high performers, achieve what matters most, and also be able to spend time focused on our priorities, we have to tell our time where to go. And when you have a tentative schedule for the day, so you have a plan for what you're going to do, it makes life so much easier to not get stuck in those little empty time sucking things. So that's one of the things we talk about, is blocking your time, having that tentative schedule for the day. And also another thing is to learn to delegate.
Ooh, okay, talk to us more.
So delegating is something I see so many people struggle with, because, and I used to really struggle with it too, because you feel like, well, why would I hand this over if I'm capable of doing this myself and I know I can do a good job at it? Why would I have someone else do this? Why would I pay for somebody else to do this task? And that goes back to looking at saying, okay, does this task really require your strengths and your skills? And if not, can you hand it off to someone else and use that time then for those bigger creative thinking, those bigger things in your business? So learning to delegate, learning to hand over those tasks so that you can do the things that actually require you, your expertise, your passions, your strengths.
Can you give us a few examples of like some of your clients that like tasks that they've been able to delegate or outsource and things like that?
Sure. So a lot of my clients have been, they own their own businesses. And a lot of things that they start delegating are the, say, writing newsletters. So email newsletters, having that done for them, posting on social media, blogging, even, you know, responding, getting things scheduled for them. So responding to inquiries, getting things set up, getting appointments set up for them. But then it's also things in your personal life too. So it's looking at saying, what are the things that I can outsource in my personal life so that I can have more time to focus on what matters. So I know when I started my business and when I was first starting to do this a few years ago, it was like, okay, yard work. I don't mind it. I actually kind of like it, but if I can hire the neighborhood kids to mow my lawn so that I can either work with a client or be with my kids, that makes more sense. Mm-hmm. So it's looking at those things in your personal life too. So it's, I have them actually go through a process where they look at their business life and then they look at their personal life separately and look at what are the things you really dream of doing in these areas and what are the things that honestly you could delegate. If they have to be done in life or they have to be done in your business and they don't specifically require you, it's looking at saying, okay, I'm going to potentially delegate that. And you don't have to delegate everything right away, but more like having this list of things you could potentially delegate so you know as you grow and you make more and more money in your business that those are some things that you could hand off to someone else so that you can actually be working on your business, not inside it on those little tasks.
Yeah, I know. That is so true. I remember when my fiance and I started dating in the beginning, when we first met, he ate every single meal out. And I was like, wait, what? Like, you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And he's like, yeah. Because at first I was like, oh my gosh, I don't get it. Like, that's a lot. And I mean, but to that point, like what you're saying is if you can delegate and go do revenue generating activities for your business that outweigh what you like would pay someone to cut your grass, or even like he didn't do it because he's like, I don't want to have the responsibility to have to clean up and do dishes afterwards because that takes up time. And like right now, I mean, just like getting to work and then when you leave work, it's just better to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I guess. I mean, that's not the case anymore because I genuinely enjoy cooking, so I'm happy to cook. Because it's like it works when I can do that. But yeah, like what you said, like you may enjoy it, but then can you outsource it? I remember I went to this talk and this guy was saying, it was hilarious. And he was saying like the kids are the best delegators because they're like, tie my shoe, make my food. I can't do this. You do this. He's like, kids are so good at delegating because they're just like, no, I can't. Like, can you do this? Or, you know, like think about it. They don't even think about it. They're just like, I'm hungry, and then they cry, and then they get their food, and it's like the best delegation ever. He's like, when did we grow up and like start having to, like, when did we start losing our ability to delegate?
And so, for funny. Yeah. That's funny.
I was like, what? So, delegation is key. What about, like, I know you say when I was reading some things on your website, It's taken a lot of hard work, like referencing to where you are today. Can you share more about your personal journey and what you experienced from that transition of leaving physical therapy to to where you're now, like the mindset and performance coach? And I know you touched on it a little bit and saying like, you know, you just didn't wake up one day. But maybe like give some more context and like put us in that example, like take us to that time.
Okay. So, you know, I came from being full-time in the healthcare field, like you said, so in physical therapy, I still will go in on occasion and see some patients if my old job really needs help. And it's super fun to be able to do that. But yes, like I have transitioned away from being full-time in that profession. And one thing coming from a very traditional healthcare career where every single day you go to work, you know what time you can punch in. You know what time you can have lunch. You know that every single 30 minutes you have to see a different patient. You know how many hours you have to get your notes done on that patient. You know exactly what to do to get your annual raise. It's almost like all the steps have been planned out for you. You know exactly what to do to be highly successful. Mm-hmm. And so for me to transition into, okay, I'm going to walk away from this very stable career where I have patients all the time and I know exactly what my paycheck is going to be. So walking away from that and saying, I'm going to build this thing and I don't even exactly know where it's going, but I just know that I have this tug in my heart that this is what I'm going to be doing. The mindset transition to learning to build the plane as you fly.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. It's a huge, huge thing. So that was one of the hardest things for me is
great example. Oh,
yeah. You know, looking at building the plane as you fly, where there's no syllabus. There's like no, that. You do this and you get a straight A or you get this amount of money. It's like, okay, here you are and, you know, go figure it out. And you can seek out really awesome mentors, and which is great. And study everyone who's done what you aspire to do, which is awesome. But there's still this element of, well, is this going to work? And what do I do next? And, you know, every day when you sit down to work on things, you're like, should I do this today or this today? There's always that element of building the plane as you fly. So that was a big thing. And another thing, too, is as far as it taking a lot of work was learning to say no to the things that didn't align with my priorities or really this tug in my heart with what I wanted to do. So that goes back to, you know, here we are, my husband and I with these three tiny little kids in 19 months. And I was like, you know what, in order for me to really be present as a mom, as much as I want to be and reach huge goals in my career path, I'm going to have to do things differently than maybe what society says it would be successful. So I'm going to have to look at everything that I'm doing with my time and say, no, I'm going to be focused and I'm going to do this here and I'm going to do this here. So learning to say no to the things that didn't align with what I truly wanted in my life. So even, you know, a few years ago, it was looking at, okay, do we have this, do we keep this vehicle that we have that is now not nice anymore so that I can have the freedom to be with the kids as much as I want and grow my business? Or do we have, you know, a big car payment here or this big mortgage here? So back then it was really looking at, you know, when I was cutting my career in physical therapy, was saying, okay, where do I want to spend my money? Do I want to invest it into growing my business? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to have this nice stuff at the time? You know, does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Like, yes, because I mean that transition, everybody's is going to be different, but it definitely, like, there, you have to make those, there'll be times when you have to make those decisions. And I think, like, I was talking about this on another podcast, as an entrepreneur, you look at your money, you look at the abundance that you get differently in terms of, like, you know, if you go to Starbucks and you buy $5 coffee, you think about, okay, wait, I could buy a $5 coffee or I could spend $5 in Facebook ads. Like, it's yep, a total game changer in that sort of mindset and decision making.
Yes, absolutely it is. And it's all about being intentional. So no matter where a person is at in their life, with whatever your priorities are, whatever your goals are, whatever your big dreams are, it's about being intentional. So where do you want to spend your time? Where do you want to put your effort? Where do you want to spend your money? You know, those kind of things, so that you can truly make the difference that you want to make and be a high performer in what matters to you, not what matters to the rest of the world or your coworkers or your friends or your family, but what really, really matters to you. So it's all about being intentional. And sometimes it's really hard to be honest with the person in the mirror and say, okay, I'm going to do things differently because I really want to be able to have the freedom to do this. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'm going to have to say no to this, even though a large majority of people are saying yes to this thing. I got to say no and go this direction. And that can be, it can be hard.
Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am. I'm just like sitting over here. I'm like, preach, yes. Because that's what, I mean, it's just so easy to see, and especially with the transparency of social media, to see what others are doing, then you can you know, I mean, you are energetically going against something that is in such motion of a massive amount of people that it can feel like you're swimming upstream for sure. So I have a few last questions for you. So if you could share, if you could only share with the audience one thing that you would recommend them to do when starting their business, what would that one thing be?
Oh, there's so many.
Okay, fine. You can give two.
Well, I would say the number one thing is study the people who've already done what you aspire to do. Mm. So, because more than likely, if you have a business idea, more than likely someone else has already done something like that or something similar, or the same type of thing. So the fastest way to get to where you want to go is by studying the people who've already done it. You can, that can help decrease some of the mindset stuff because you can use that person as inspiration and you know that it's possible. And also helps you with the tactical stuff, like how to actually make things happen. What are the steps that they did? What's worked for them? What hasn't worked for them? So you can give yourself a shortcut to achieving what you want to achieve if you study the people who've done what you aspire to do. So study the way that they've done things, but also look at learning and taking advice from the people who've done the things you want to do, not the people out there who are saying, no, don't ever do that. It'll never work. You know, this and this and this didn't work for this person, but they've never done it themselves. So study the people and learn from the people and take advice from the people who've actually done it, not the people who haven't done it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I know. I like that. I totally am jiving with you on the first thing too about when I was doing a lot more consulting, one of the things was that a proven process leads to predictable results. And so if you can look at anything that someone's doing and like you're saying, like they're successful or you view them as successful because they're doing things and getting the results that you want, really study the underlying process and say, okay, well, what is it that they're doing? Instead of going in face value, say, okay, they're doing this here. So how do I take what I want to do and plug it into their process so that I can also get a predictable result as well? So yeah, that and then the like listening to people who have done it is so important and key. And that, yeah, I can't say more about that. Like it taking advice from someone who's done it versus taking advice from someone who thinks it and has never done it is completely two different things, because once you experience it and you've done it yourself, you are completely changed as an individual at like and physiologically as well too, that speaking from those experiences have much greater impact than giving your opinion in what you think versus not what you've experienced, done, and know.
Yes, exactly. And one of the things that I tell my coaching clients is to set up a board of directors for your life. So really think about the different areas of your life. So maybe it's your fitness and it's your finances and it's your relationships, it's your parenting, it's your social life, it's your business, all the things in your life. And think about who, if you had an imaginary board of directors, who are you going to learn from? In each category, have somebody that's the person that you're going to learn from in that season of your life. Because it's so easy for us to look at having a few people that we confide in and ask advice for on every topic of life. And it's not fair to expect that one person or a few people can give us all this great advice on every single category in our life. So look at who is your board of directors? Who are you going to really learn from? Mm-hmm. One thing I think about as far as taking advice from people who've done it, what you want to do is back about 5 years ago, my husband and I went on a cruise and we're on this cruise ship, and he had been given this book, this Rich Dad Poor Dad book by Robert Kiyosaki. He was given that by some guy on an airplane years ago, and my husband had never read it. It was just sitting on a shelf at our house. And when we were going on this cruise, he goes, you know what? I'm gonna grab this book. Like maybe we'll have some time by the pool. I can look it through this book. So we started reading this book, and it's about investing. So we started talking about maybe we should invest in some real estate, and started looking at that stuff. And we went to dinner on the cruise ship with this couple who said, hey, we saw you reading that book by the pool. We love that book. And this couple was in their early 30s, and they said, we have 17 rental properties, and they've gone on dozens of cruises and are able to do this and have built up this really passive income stream. And we're like, that's awesome. So we asked them a ton of questions. We started diving into more books on real estate. And eventually, as we're home and looking around and starting to look at properties to purchase, there were so many people that we knew in our normal life who had said, oh, but I know so-and-so who had had this property and this happened, or, oh, this person had bad renters, or this person had to evict people, and this person.
You always hear the bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually, that was the first time that we actually had to really sit down and say, okay, have these people even done what we're trying to do? And no, they hadn't. They was just telling us a story about this person who knew this person who knew this person. And so then that's when we really started thinking, okay, you know what? We have to be really intentional about who we're taking advice from. We're going to learn from the people who've done it, and they've been really successful. So now today we have several rental properties, and it's been awesome, and I love it. But we have really, I've had to go back to that concept over and over again as I build my business and continually work on focusing my life on what matters most, is saying, okay, what's this area of my life? Who am I going to learn from here? And how am I going to filter out the noise? Because a lot of times when you're in your business or you're in your personal life, anytime you're working on reaching a big goal and you're really starting to think big and working on leaping towards something, you're going to have those mindset things. So whether it's self-doubt or, oh gosh, I don't even know if I have what it takes. Like, what am I really doing here? Is this the right move? And if your thoughts are clouded by all of these people's thoughts and advice that they haven't even done it, it's very easy for you to let the mindset stuff overtake you. So to really say, okay, you know what? I'm going to be super intentional about who I'm learning from here. This is my board of directors. This is who I'm learning from in this area. That can help you so much.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that exercise. I think I feel like I have that mentally, but it would be great for me to even do that exercise and like really map out the board of directors. So I'm definitely going to do that. I have one last question for you. What is your favorite book?
I would say The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. It is a really great book.
It is. Yeah, I love it so much. It's when you learn to think big and you learn how to deal with the mindset things that naturally come up when you're growing a business, it's so incredibly helpful, because all success is going to start between your ears.
Ooh, I like that one too.
It always starts between your ears, and your actions are never going to be bigger than your mindset. So like say you're in your personal life, say your goal is to run a marathon, but in your head, you truly believe that even if you work really hard, the farthest you can get is 2 miles. Then
all the far your
actions, yep, your actions are going to align with training like a 2 mile runner. So same with your business. If you have a big dream in your heart and you know you want to do a certain thing, so you know you want to impact a certain amount of people or reach a certain revenue goal or have a certain lifestyle with your business, if you deep down in your heart don't believe that it's possible for you, it's not going to be. Mm-hmm. Your actions aren't going to align with it actually happening. So the mindset is the key to everything, everything big. It all starts between your ears. So that book is amazing for that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to drop the mic right on that point, sister friend. This has been amazing. Carrie, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've got a ton of notes on my end, so I know that the listeners are going to get the same massive amount of value as well. And seriously, thank you.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.